Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of us being together here. And we thank you for your word. That's what we are hungry for. And we pray, Lord, that you will satisfy our hearts as we study your word, and that it'll be a blessing to us. And we thank you for your goodness to us. Please open your word. Give us ears to hear. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Acts chapter 1 and verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field, and there he fell headlong. His body burst open, all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, which is the field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership.' Therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belonged." Then they drew lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. So the first thing I want to point out to you is that after the Lord Jesus Christ went back to heaven, the disciples went back home to where they lived. Says, then they returned to Jerusalem in verse 12. Then means after what? After Jesus went to heaven. Then they returned from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. So the Mount of Olives was a Sabbath day's walk from the city. Now when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Must have been a very big room because there were quite a lot of people there. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, the Zealot, Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Several things to notice of interest there. First of all, the group has now grown to 120. And what Luke does is, for some of these people, he actually gives us their names. And he goes through the whole list of disciples. And he does that specifically because this whole passage is about replacing Judas. And so when he goes through the list of disciples, you will see that he leaves out Judas Iscariot. There's another Judas there, which has nothing to do with Judas Iscariot. And also we notice that Mary is there, Jesus' mother, and his brothers. Now, in the Gospels, they were opposed to Jesus. But here we suddenly discover that they're in the upper room and they are now with the prayer group. And so it looks like Jesus' family swung around. They were converted by God's grace and they joined them and they spent their time in prayer. And so these were the people who gathered in this upper room. Whether they all slept there or not, I don't know. Whether they just met there during the day, I don't know. Whether they were hiding from authorities, which may have been true. There are traditions that say that. And whether they met there for meals, Nevertheless, there were about 120 of them, and they met regularly in that room. That was their home. Because 12 is the issue that dominates the rest of this little passage. And so I'll just read to you from verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field, and there he fell headlong. His body burst open, all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership." So now we've got the matter of the need to have 12 disciples to be reinstated again, so that there's not just 11. There had to be a 12th one. And Luke takes a little detour to tell us something about Judas. Apparently he had bought a field and he'd hung himself, and maybe he'd hung himself in that field, as far as we can make out. And probably nobody discovered his body while he was hanging there, until finally he was so distended and rotten that he just fell apart. And that's what it seems to have happened in that field. And so the field became a kind of a non-kosher place called the Field of Blood. And so Luke just throws that in to show God's judgment upon Judas. So that's just thrown in by way of an aside. But the point is that Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, left a gap. And the gap was that there was one more disciple needed. There had to be 12. Why did there have to be 12? Because for the Jewish people, 12 was a very important number for them. There were 12 tribes of Israel. And in Jewish thinking, and especially in the rabbinic thinking, where they listened to the rabbis, you must remember now that 400 years have passed between the last Old Testament book and now the writings of the New Testament. And in those 400 years, lots of things had happened. Wars had been fought. People had been killed. Jews had fought against their oppressors. And finally, they got to a point where they were now taken over by Rome. But they were allowed to build synagogues around the East. And rabbis rose up. And the rabbis were very well educated and usually moneyed people. And rabbis were very scholarly. And they were always arguing with each other about fine points and so on. But 12 was a very important number for the Jewish people. It was God's number for them. It was the number of completeness for them. 12 tribes of Israel. So what the Lord Jesus did was he chose 12 disciples. And so what he was going to do was show the Jews that God was going to establish a new people. The old 12 tribes were now became defunct. And because the Lord Jesus Christ was going to raise up a new people for himself. And so to help the Jews, Jesus chose 12 disciples, so there would be 12 messengers that would go out into the world. And so the number 12 would be retained in the thinking in the background of the Jewish people. Do you understand that? So it is very important for this 12th disciple to be chosen. To make the point that God was in control of affairs, Luke also includes two prophetic utterances that were made in the Old Testament concerning Judas. The one was from Psalm 69, verse 25, and the other was from Psalm 109, verse 8. Let me just say this. Both Psalms had to do with the persecution of David, which from our point of view finally becomes like a psalm about the persecution of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, and may there be no one to dwell in it. They wanted me to be killed, Jesus was saying, and They wanted me to be wiped out and me to be forgotten, but it's the betrayer who's going to suffer that fate. And also with the other verse, may another take his place of leadership. So here are two verses put together by Luke, which goes to show how even fishermen remembered the Old Testament. And he remembers Psalm 69 and verse 5, where there is a curse upon the person who's going to betray the Lord Jesus. And then he remembers Psalm 109 and verse 8, where the prophecy is that someone else will take his place. So Luke reminds the group about that. So he says, we've got to make up the 12. The scripture says someone else must take their place. Because you must remember now, first of all, in verse 15, in those days, while they were all gathered, it says, Peter stood up among the believers. Now, wait a minute, who's this Peter? This Peter is the same man and sworn curse that he didn't know Lord Jesus and followed him afar off. But Peter had that reinstatement at the end of John's Gospel, remember? Where he was reinstated with Jesus. And it's upon Peter, the rock, that Jesus was going to build his church. So now suddenly we discover that Peter is now a leader. And amongst this group, he stands up and he's going to take the initiative to make sure that the number of disciples is reinstated again to the number 12. So Peter lays down the principle of what is needed. Verse 21. Therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us, for one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So what Peter does for the group is lay down three important elements or principles that are necessary for this next disciple, for this new one who's going to be appointment. There are three things that must be true about him before he can become a disciple and finally an apostle. First of all, Peter says, he's got to have been with us from the beginning when Jesus went in and out among us. He's got to be with us when we were still fishermen. He's got to be with us from the beginning when we were called. He's got to be with us when we heard the Sermon on the Mount. He's got to be with us when we saw the miracles. He's got to be with us when we heard the teachings. He's got to be with us when we heard him arguing with the Pharisees and the religious leaders. He's got to have been with us from the beginning. Don't forget that. That's important. I'll tell you why in a moment. And then secondly, it says, he says, he's got to be a witness of the resurrection. That's what he says. He says, therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. That's element number one. Beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us, for one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. Here's element number two. What was the third element? The third element is he must be chosen by Jesus. He must be chosen by God, by the Lord. But Jesus wasn't there anymore. He had gone to heaven. And God was in heaven. And who was going to choose him? Is God really only in heaven? Or where is he? He is with us all. But those were the three things that were necessary. Now, why were those three things necessary? Because these were going to be the 12 men who were going to become the 12 apostles. And they were going to go out with a special authority from God. No other person who calls himself an apostle has got authority from God. Only these men. So it doesn't matter what titles the people are that you come across or see their posters on the polls and all that sort of stuff. Only these 12 apostles were the genuine articles. And they were given special power from God to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because they were eyewitnesses. That is the point. They were eyewitnesses. They were not guessing. They were not getting special messages from God that no one else could see. They were eyewitnesses to what was generally known amongst the people in the cities. They were eyewitnesses. And so the 12th one had to be an eyewitness. So the three things necessary to be a disciple and then an apostle was to be, first of all, with them from the beginning, and secondly, a witness of the resurrection, so they could say, I saw the resurrected Jesus. And thirdly, he had to be chosen by God. All right, so now we come to the casting of lots. Because how were these disciples going to find out who this man should be amongst those who were in the room with him? And so we read these words in verse 26. Then they drew lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. But let me go before that, because it says in verse 23, they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen, not us, but you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. And then they drew lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. So one of the things that Jesus must have explained to them after his resurrection while he was with them was that they were going to become apostles. The word apostle means to be specially sent. They were going to become sent with a special power and a special message. Now, Peter prays, Lord, there are two men here who fit the bill. Two men who are equally suitable for the role of an apostle. How do we know which one you want? You want here to guide us. You're going to speak to us from heaven. You're not going to do that anymore. So how are we going to know? So he did what was quite common in the Old Testament days. He arranged for the casting of lots. Then they drew lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. Now, the method of casting of lots can be several ways, so we're not going to even talk about that. In today's world, you can throw dice. In those worlds, you could draw sticks or whatever the case may be. Whichever way they did it, they drew lots. And the end of the exercise was that the man called Matthias, just another way of talking about him, Matthew, which is a very common name, as was John, and as was Judas, for that matter, a very common name in Jesus' day, Matthew was chosen. It's not that the other one was not worthy, but God chose Matthew. Now, isn't it interesting that these disciples, and Peter now given the responsibility of leadership, nevertheless never took the leadership where the responsibility was God's? So Peter says, we're going to preach your message. We're going to witness to you. Therefore, you must choose number 12, not us. And so using the method of lots, they chose number 12, which was Matthias. Now, let me talk to you for just a moment about this business of lots, just for a moment, and tell you that the casting of lots is looked down upon by Christians today. I think quite rightly so. We don't operate in that way today. But in those days, in Peter's day, it was a traditional way of determining God's will in Judaism before the Holy Spirit came. So in Old Testament Judaism, it was not an uncommon way for people to discern what God wanted. You see, so you can find it, for instance, I won't read it to you, but you can find it in Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 8, and you can find it in Numbers chapter 26 and verse 55, and you can find it in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 7 to 8. You can find this business of lots here and there in the Old Testament scripture. And God made his will known quite often to people, not through speaking directly or through a prophet, but by the casting of lots. In other words, he made them use their common sense so that they could find out what he wanted them to do. But here in this case, the casting of the lots to know God's will was very important, because we had two equally qualified characters, and it's very important to choose the right person. You can have the right character, but not the right gifts, maybe. Or you can have wonderful gifts, but not the right character. And so it's important for God to choose who number 12 was going to be. And so they did what they did. They used lots, and the result was that Matthew or Matthias was chosen. Now, here's the thing. There is no further example anywhere in the New Testament of a decision for God or his kingdom being made in this way. And why is that? Because in the next chapter, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to live in us and he's going to be with us. And he will be the guide and lead us in a way that the Old Testament people did not have the privilege of being led. That is why they needed the fire by night and the cloud by day through the desert. They had no Holy Spirit with them. You know, we do read, for instance, that the Holy Spirit came upon Samson and upon some of the judges. But it's a different thing to have the Holy Spirit come upon you and the Holy Spirit being in you. Remember Jesus said in John 14, says, he is with you, but he will be in you. So the Old Testament people had the Holy Spirit with them, because the Holy Spirit, after all, is the third person of the Trinity. So God was with them. But now the third person of the Trinity was going to take up residence within them. And they would be able to think differently. They'd have a different grid from which they see things. They will make decisions differently. Now they've got to turn to God and cast lots. But when we Christians make decisions, we pray like they prayed, and then we use what we know about the gospel to make a decision that fits the gospel and that brings greatest glory to the gospel. So we make decisions in a different way today. So the coming of the Holy Spirit indicated a new kind of relationship in which God guides us by his Spirit, as we will see when we get to it. But the most important thing was that Peter and the others all trusted that the sovereign God would make his election sure to them. It was God who elected Matthias to be number 12. It wasn't just a kind of a casual choosing, okay, you can play on my side this week, but next week, you know, you're on someone else's side, like we do as kids when we play football. No, this was an election for his whole life and for eternity. He already had received the call of God to believe in the Lord Jesus. Now Matthew is lifted up to become one of the apostles. And that is God's business. That is why we believe in a sovereign God. And Peter and the rest of the disciples knew that. And they believed that. And they believed that God, in his sovereign power, would show them whom he would choose. What I want to say to you is this. If Peter and the other disciples at that time were unsure about God, will God hear us? Look what's happened to us. We believe these things and look what's happened, you know. We feel down. We feel miserable. And the whole of Jerusalem's against us. And if they were like that, we would have had no gospel reaching out to the world today. We would have had nothing like that today. But what these disciples who were going to be the apostles did was they trusted the sovereignty of the God in whom they'd come to believe. Even when the things were gloomy and bleak and sad and was like bad luck for them. And they were stuck in this room hiding from people who were looking for them, which is probably what was happening. They trusted that there was a sovereign God who would fulfill his purposes. And even though they would become apostles and would go out to preach the word, at that point they couldn't leave the room, but the day would come when it would happen. And they trusted God for that. And so I want to say to you today, it's important for us to trust God's purposes, even when we can't see how he's going to do it. to trust God's plans and God's purposes and what God has promised to do, to trust a God who has plans and purposes and that we are part of, and that he will bring it to pass, and he will hear our hearts even when we can't express them properly. So these people couldn't express their hearts like we can today through the Holy Spirit, but God heard them, and God gave them disciple number 12. And so the team was complete, and they would go out into the world. But something else had to happen to them first. And that, of course, is what happens in Acts chapter 2. Into Acts chapter 2, the coming and the power of the Holy Spirit. I think we'll pray. Father, we thank you, and thank you for being with us. And we pray that even though we've got to go back to a lot of different chores and a lot of different things, when we get back home and our lives take a different turn in the morning when we get up again, that nevertheless something of study will stay in our minds, and we'll remember to stay in a spirit of prayer and to remember to ask you to guide us and lead us. And we pray that we may be true witnesses for you in a world that does not know you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.